Our scripture reading this morning will come from Psalm 113. Many of you know that I completed that series on Galatians, and I'm going to preach a series on some parables here soon. But for the first Sunday of the year, I wanted to focus on a psalm which is appropriate for New Year's, Psalm 113. Keep in mind that in your bulletins there is an outline of this morning's message, and on the back of that outline is the text, Psalm 113, because I want to have before you the same translation that I'm preaching from. So you may find our scripture reading in your Bibles, but you also may follow along right on the back of the insert of your bulletin, Psalm 113. Let us pay careful attention this morning to the reading of God's holy and infallible word from Psalm 113. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of His people. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord. Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in Psalm 13. Again, I encourage you to follow along on the outline, but also even more specifically on the text printed there in your bulletin. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we start out the year 2013, there is so much uncertainty in many lives, especially of the people here, even in our congregation. For many, starting the new year is one of financial uncertainty and job insecurity. Some are asking, will I have a steady income for this next year? For others, there are health concerns, health uncertainty. Many thinking about an upcoming surgery and what will the results be, and others facing old age issues and if things will be harder for the next year. And still others, there are relationships that are uncertain. People struggling in difficult family relationships and other aspects of their lives, and young people thinking about the future, wondering where their life is going education-wise, or if perhaps this is the year they will find someone that God will bless them with in a spouse. What does the future hold? And how should we approach this uncertainty to find any kind of stability in our lives? The author of Psalm 113 tells us in this psalm where our focus should be in a new year. In this psalm, he tells us where our objective certainty should be, not in ourselves, but in God. And he invites us to join him with his praise unto God for these things. Now, you notice this morning that our psalm begins with what we call an inclusio. That is, the psalm is wrapped with two lines which are exactly the same. Praise the Lord, the psalm starts out in verse 1. Praise the Lord, the psalm ends at the end of verse 9. The focus of the psalm and the focus of the psalm in terms of the life of the author is praise to the Lord. But why does the author of this psalm give praise to the Lord? You notice that the psalm also has a center. The psalm begins the first part with four verses. The psalm ends the last part with four verses, 6 through 9. And in the center of the psalm, there is a center verse, verse 5. And the first part of that verse, the psalmist is asking a question. Who is like the Lord our God? The psalmist begins with praise the Lord, and he ends with praise the Lord. But what is his reason for praise? Why does he want God's people to praise the Lord? And why does he praise the Lord in his own life? At the center of the psalm, he gives us the answer. We praise the Lord because who is like the Lord our God? There is no one or nothing or no other false god on earth that you can compare God to. And for that, the psalmist is giving his praise. Now, as I said in this psalm, it is made up of two particular parts. There is a center verse, verse 5, but there is also a part 1 of the psalm, verses 1 through 4, and a part 2 of the psalm, verses 6 through 9. And as we begin this morning looking at part 1, you notice that the Lord and the Lord's name dominates the thoughts of the psalmist. Notice how many times the Lord's name is used in the first part of this psalm. If you got a pen, maybe you want to circle them. At the end of verse 1, or in verse 1, three times, praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Three times in verse 1. Verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord. The end of verse 3, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Verse 4, the Lord is high above the nations. And in verse 5, who is like the Lord our God? Seven times the Lord's name is used, and the Lord's name dominates the thoughts of the psalmist in the first part of this psalm. But he does not just mention the Lord's name so that we notice how frequently his thoughts are upon the Lord's name, but he is directing an action to the Lord. He uses an imperative to direct a particular action to the Lord, and that action is to praise the Lord. Again, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 2, blessed be the name of the Lord. The last part of verse 3, the name of the Lord is to be praised. You see, he mentions the Lord's name. The Lord is dominating his thoughts, but not only is he thinking about the Lord, he is offering his praise to the Lord. His focus in his life is praising the Lord because the focus of his life is the Lord. In fact, as you look at the frequency of the Lord's name, you see how he sort of is funneling it down into the center. For in verse 1, again, he uses the Lord's name three times. In the second part, the second strophe of the psalm, verses 2 and 3, he uses the Lord's name two times. In verse 4, he uses the Lord's name one time. And then in verse 5, he brings it all to the end. Who is like the Lord our God? That phrase has three words in Hebrew because he's shrunk it down into the Lord's name. He is driving the reader into the Lord, that his focus would be in his life the Lord, that his focus would be praise to the Lord. And that's where he's directing you. Now, notice as well, as the psalm in the first half is written, that this praise to the Lord, the focus to the Lord, also ascends. We mentioned how he's sort of funneling and directing you in the frequency of the Lord's name into the Lord. But the psalmist, as he writes, his mind, his thoughts in the first half of this psalm are ascending up to the Lord. Notice the second part of verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. As he thinks of praise to the Lord and living his life in praise to the Lord, he encompasses all of time. An eternal aspect of time is his focus of blessing the Lord and his praise to the Lord. Then in verse 3 again, his thoughts, his mind moves upward from the rising of the sun till its setting. Each day as the sun rises, as it goes down, he offers his praise to the Lord. As he thinks of time, as he thinks of each day in his life, his focus is the Lord and offering his praise to the Lord. Then in verse 4, it ascends above all that he faces in his life. The Lord is high above all nations. The nations of the earth may seem that they are powerful, but the Lord is high above them. He is high above everything in this world. His praise is for all time. His praise is for each day. His praise from his people goes up ahead or higher than the nations of this earth. And finally, look in verse 4, the second line, where it goes. His glory is above the heavens. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is even above the heavens. And the psalmist knows it. He gives praise to God high above the nations. He gives praise for God and God's glory even above the heavens. And he says, who is like the Lord our God? You see, the Lord is dominating his thoughts at the beginning of this psalm. The focus of his life each day, all of time, is on the Lord. The focus of his praise is not only a praise of this earth, but he joins the servants of the Lord in heaven, verse 1, in his praise as they praise God in heaven. He joins them on the earth below as he raises his thoughts, as he raises his praise up into the Lord himself. Who is like the Lord our God? Not just who is like God. Who is like our God, the God that we believe in, the God who has a relationship with his people? The focus of his life is his praise to the Lord. The psalmist cannot conceive of heaven or of anything on earth where God is not central. He cannot imagine any other God or a part of creation not sharing in the praise of God. He does not give praise for himself, for his accomplishments. He does not give praise for others or the things of this earth that he has acquired. His praise, his thoughts are to the Lord each day. And this dominates his thinking. It dominates his worship. That he, as a servant of the Lord, lives his life in praise unto him. What a focus for a new year. You're troubled by your earthly circumstances. Troubled by your finances, you don't know where it's going to come from. Troubled by the instability of health. Troubled by the instability of relationships around you, or maybe even suffering and dealing with loss of a loved one. The psalmist lives his life out of praise to the Lord. God and giving praise to God in his life dominates his thoughts, dominates his thinking. There is nothing else that is at the center of his life and what he seeks to do and accomplish. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun each day, to a new year and unto eternity. That is his focus. And as the psalm is written, he is drawing you in to have that same focus for your life. But not only is the psalmist giving his praise unto a transcendent Lord, that is a Lord, a God who is above this world and above the heavens, and a God who is apart from him in heaven. But the psalmist in the second half of the psalm is giving praise for something much more. There is no one who is like the Lord our God, who is above the heavens and above the earth. But there is a second way in this psalm in the second half, that there is no one, no other God, no other thing that can compare to him. And that is the salvation works of the Lord. If you had to draw something on this psalm, you would want to start at verse 6 or verse 5 and draw an arrow that points up. For the first part of the psalm is pointing up. But if you went to verse 5, and you drew an arrow to the second part of this psalm, you would draw down. For as the psalmist in his praise ascends, look at verse 6. Who looks far down on the heavens and the earth. Verse 5, who is like the Lord our God who is seated on high? Who is like the Lord our God seated on high? Who looks down? He's not up there far above his people as if he doesn't care about you. As if the world just goes on and he's up there and really he isn't directing you or affecting your life or guiding you or caring for you in whatever situation you find yourself in, as if your life just happens apart from him. God is looking down from heaven on the heavens and the earth. God is focused as he is in heaven on his people on earth. He knows what's going on. He's directing what's going on. He is seated on high, but he looks down unto the earth. And notice, there is no name for God mentioned in the second part of the psalm until the end of verse 9. The first part of the psalm focused on the name of the Lord, used 7 times, but now it's absent. Does that mean that God isn't doing anything, that God isn't present? No, those 7 names for God in the second half of the psalm are followed by 7 verbs that God is doing. Verse 5, the second line, who is seated on high or settled on high, that's what God is doing. Verse 6, who looks far down. Verse 7, he raises. Second line, he lifts. Verse 8, to make them. Verse 9, he gives. And the second line of verse 9, making her. God is in heaven on high, and he is at work on the earth down below. And what is it that God is doing from on high? Verse 7, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Now, when we see that word in English, the word poor, people start to think, okay, people who aren't doing good financially, or the needy, people who are going through tough times, bad relationships, poor health, and all these kind of things, and God's going to make their life better. But look at verse 8. To make them sit with princes. What princes? Does that mean that God is going to take poor people, the psalmist says, and make you sit with earthly princes and give you all kinds of earthly blessings that earthly princes would have? Well, remember, verse 8 is an A, what's more, B line in Hebrew poetry. That means he's saying something in A, Verse 8:1, to make them sit with princes, and what's more, he's telling you what he means, with the princes of his people. Does that mean princes of his people on earth who are wealthy and have a lot of things, and he's going to take poor people and the needy, and he's going to put them together? Look again at the psalm. Verse 5, who is like the Lord our God who is seated on high. The same root for seated is used in verse 8. To make them sit with princes. What it means is that God is looking down from on high, and he takes those who are of the dust, those who are poor and sinners and have no hope, those who are part of the ash heap in their sin, that without God they have no hope and they're only headed for total destruction. They are the needy that the psalmist is referring to. And what does God do? From heaven above, he looks down and he raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap. He gives them eternal life. He gives them hope. He gives them deliverance. And where does he put them? He makes them sit with princes, the princes of his people who are seated with him in heaven and on high. It is those servants of the Lord in verse 1 that are giving praise to him in heaven. And now God from heaven above looks down and descends and humbles himself, and he raises the poor, he lifts the needy, and he seats them on high. How does he do it? Look at verse 9. He gives the barren woman a home. Now, we know barren women in Scripture. We think of Sarah. We think of Hannah, who gave birth to Samuel. We think of Rachel, one of the wives of Jacob, couldn't have a child for many, many years. We think of Naomi, who was with Ruth. Naomi, whose husband died, whose two sons died, and she's left with two Moabite daughters-in-law without sons. And for Naomi and for an Old Testament woman to not have a child is a direct instability for their future. What do they do without a male descendant? What do they do about their inheritance without a male descendant? Who is going to care for the woman in her old age? Who is going to provide her home? If there is any instability for a barren woman or a woman without sons, we see it in Naomi. But what did God do for the dead womb of Sarah? What did God do for the dead womb, what seemed to be dead womb of Hannah? Look at the second line. Making her the joyous mother of children. God gives life. God can take a dead womb and give it life. He did it as Sarah gives birth to Isaac. He did it as Rachel gives birth to Joseph and Benjamin. He did it as Hannah gives birth to Samuel and later anoints King David, king of Israel. God from heaven can give life in the midst of death. He can make something dead alive. He takes the poor who are enslaved to their sin and are part of the dust and are needy who are in the ash heap, and he gives them life. He gives them eternal life. God brings this about through the looking down from heaven, through the sending of his Son, through the Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, Son of God, who comes down to earth. And he pays for the sins of his people. And he is risen from the grave. And he brings about life unto the people of God, so that they can sit with princes, so that they are seated with him, his people, his princes, in heaven as servants of the Lord, giving praise unto him. Who is like the Lord our God, the psalmist says? What other God is like that? What other false earthly God or false earthly thing can do that? Where you find your hope in earthly things or earthly solutions, perhaps even in yourself. But this is the God of heaven who is high above the heavens, who has created the earth, who has created the heavens, and he is looking down and he brings about this salvation for his people. He gives them life. He seats them on high. They ascend up to him through the resurrection of his very own son who became incarnate and died for them to save them from their sins. No other religion teaches that. In the Muslim religion, you're taught that God is apart from you, that he wills things, but you've got all kinds of things to do to please him before you can be with him. He doesn't come down in their faith to save his people from their sins and to die for them. In other false religions, it's all about you and the self and what you can do to make your life better. And as you obey and follow the rules, somehow you'll be better and make some sort of achievement unto some sort of salvation. Who is like the Lord our God? There is no other religion, there is no other faith that compares. That the God above in heaven would look down and become incarnate and save his people from their sins, those who are poor, those who are needy, and seat them on high through the death and resurrection of his Son. All the money in the world is not going to give you stability in a new year. The best husband, the best wife, the most obedient and loving children is not going to give you stability in the next year. Somehow a miraculous healing, that your pain will go away, the return of a loved one whom you miss, that will not give you stability in the next year. The God of heaven, who has saved you, who is in heaven, gives you stability in your life. Is your life unstable? Are you facing uncertainty and difficulty as you face a new year? The first half of this psalm reminds us that there is no other God who is transcendent above all the heavens and the earth and who is deserving of our praise and the domination of our thoughts and our life in everything we do. The second half of the psalm reminds us that there is no other God who looks down from heaven and instead of demanding something from his people so they would be saved, does it for them. He became incarnate. He died on a cross and suffered. And he rose from the dead. It is for this reason that the psalmist begins the psalm with praise and ends the psalm with praise, enveloping his message in praise. The message of this psalm has so gripped him that each part of his day, of his life, forever is dominated with his knowledge of God and his praise unto God. As we begin a new year, is this your mindset? Is this your focus? As you face uncertain job opportunities or financial difficulties is your focus how you're going to figure it out? Or how can I praise and give glory to God? As you deal with the frustration of health difficulties, is your focus on, why can't that doctor help me more? Or is it praise and the glory of God through the struggle? As you face difficult relationships and hurt and pain, is your focus, how can God be glorified through this struggle? That is how God can dominate your thoughts. That you never forget the purpose for which why He has created you. To give praise and glory to Him as the psalmist does. For He has lifted you up from the dust, from the ash heap, and He has enabled you to join with His servants in heaven in praise unto Him. Why would you not want to join in each day in the coming year? His servants in heaven give praise for all eternity. His servants on earth give praise from each day, from the rising of the sun until its setting, looking to heaven for the salvation He has given them, giving praise forevermore. Is this your focus for a new year? The psalmist invites you this morning to join in with your praise. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we rejoice this morning in this psalm. For Lord, as your Spirit has inspired its writer, you have invited us to give praise to you. For though you are far above us and the earth and the heaven, you have looked down and given us salvation through your Son. Lord, this must always be our focus, and yet how easy it is for us to forget. Enable us, O Lord, to have you dominate our thoughts, our minds, whatever decisions we make. That no matter what happens to us in our life, we may always give praise to you and recognize, Lord, that you are using all these things for your glory. As we are surrounded in a world which wants to take our focus away from you, help us, Lord, always to make our minds and hearts grateful, thankful, for the glorious thing you have done for us in Jesus Christ. May we live each day acknowledging there is none like you, and you deserve our praise now and forevermore. We pray all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.